And we are back for episode 5 of the Box 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 podcast for a special on the F1 75 event in London this weekend. So Dominic, let's roll that intro music.
Indeed.
Let's go.
Right, what's up, everybody? I'm Sam.
I'm Dom.
And welcome to Box, 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 your favourite Formula One podcast.
First question. If it isn't their favourite by now, we should quit our day jobs. No, we shouldn't quit our day jobs.
Interrupt me, bitch. I was going to ask what you're wearing, but fuck you, bastard.
Williams. The USB mouse with a Duracell battery strapped to the top of it. Because let's face it, that's what the Williams livery looked like.
Literally.
I mean, that's what it looked like last season too, but...
I mean, so F1 75 was Tuesday.
Yeah. Well,
I have some words.
Well, I was going to say, so what we're going to talk about this week is obviously F1 75 live. The only two bits of interesting news that I found coming up recently is Will Buxton leaving F1 TV, which is like mad.
Okay.
And obviously we've got, this is obviously the most recent, as in we're recording and it's going out straight away sort of thing. News related to recent events is obviously Drive Survive, the new series is coming very soon.
Yeah. But there's going to be no Gunther. Don't you kick my fuck door.
Kick my fuck smash door.
I can't believe how well that video did, you know.
All right, I also realised after we did that video.
And the episode's not coming out till the following week after this.
That and... I think I said like, oh, don't kick my fucking door. And his words were, don't kick my fuck smash door or something like that.
Don't kick my fuck door.
Yeah, it's just...
He smashed my fuck door.
It's just, yeah.
What a guy. What an absolute guy.
So before we do get into F1 75 live coverage, I have a quick fire quiz for you to just get a couple of questions.
Why?
And
why
next time, I challenge you to do one for me.
No.
So feel free to play along at home if you know the answer. There's some really easy ones and there's some ones that I almost definitely know you're not going to know the answer to, but because it's so randomly obscure, but it's funnily obscure, and that's because
you're doing these now just for the Instagram clips, well, for the social clips.
Yeah, but that's exactly what it is. I mean, one of them has got something to do with the cucumber, so... Yeah.
You mean cucumber?
Cucumber. So we'll go quick. I asked my dad these questions. There's 15 and my dad got 8.
Okay.
We'll blast for him. So which driver has won the most Formula One World Championships?
Lewis Hamilton.
And?
World Championships?
Yeah.
It's Lewis. Oh, no, it's Lewis and Chewie, isn't it?
There we go. What does DRS stand for?
Drag Reduction System.
What team has the most Constructors Championship in F1 history?
Ooh, I want to say like McLaren.
No, but Heritage is almost right. Go on, one more guess.
Ferrari.
Hey, what circuit hosts the British Grand Prix?
Silverstone.
Hey, what does the term pole position mean in Formula One?
You're in first place.
Off
the grid.
Okay, I'll take that. It's first place. You get the fastest time in qualifying, get first place on the grid to start the race. Yeah. which country hosted the first ever Formula One championship race in 1950?
I want to say, wasn't it like Italy?
No.
Where?
Think.
Oh, was it Silverstone?
It was indeed. What is the maximum number of points a driver can score in a single race?
Honestly, I actually don't know.
25. It did used to be 26 because you used to get a point for the fastest lap, but they've got rid of it for this year, which is a bit stupid. What does a blue flag signal to a driver?
I should know this because I do motorsport, but honestly, I don't pay attention to the flag.
Move over, there's a faster car coming, basically.
I've seen that flag a lot, you know, and that's probably why I get kicked off. Not anymore. My turbo build in the last episode is going well.
It's going well.
There's an even bigger turbo one since we last spoke now. My pal, baby.
Which F1 driver competed in a race wearing only one shoe? And it's exactly who you think it might be.
Is it Danny Rick?
It was Danny Rick in a go-kart in junior race. He lost a shoe mid-race and still finished.
Oh, God.
There you go.
What a guy. What a legend.
Which F1 team holds the record for the fastest pit stop ever recorded? And if
Red
you
Bull.
Can give me the time, I'll give you an extra point.
It was Red Bull 1.91, wasn't it?
1.82. Very close. What did Sebastian Vettel once describe as a cucumber when complaining about another driver in a race? He was just calling another driver's car slow. It's a cucumber.
I don't know.
I just saw that in an article somewhere and I was like, I need to mention Sebastian Vettel calling someone's car a cucumber at some point.
What a guy.
Who is partnering Pierre Gasly in Alpine in 2025?
That's Jack Doohan, isn't it?
Doohan. Hey. After leaving Red Bull Racing, which team did Sergio Perez join for the 2025 season?
I don't actually know.
Trick question, he hasn't joined any team.
I was about to say.
Yeah, there you go.
I was like, I haven't seen anything. My guess would have been somebody shit like Kick Saber.
Well, he's nowhere. I don't even think he's a reserve driver. And one last question. Which former Ferrari Academy driver was appointed as Ferrari's reserve driver for 2025?
Oh, it was Zhou, wasn't it?
Joe Guanyu. He's, the guy from Kick Steak.
Yeah.
So I didn't keep track of how many you got right, but I'm sure we'll figure it out. And when we make some kind reel out of it,
I'll put a points counter on the edit.
There we go.
Dom, so, I do the actual podcast edit to make sure it sounds nice and make sure the long format. Dom does all the short format stuff.
So there you go. Well, my old man got 8 and you got...
Yes. Anyway, let's move on
to so let's get
75.
Into, yeah. If there was one moment that stood out most to you, what was it?
Seeing Dave Bastin's A86 going sideways.
That is a fair
so
point.
So a bit of a con. So me and Dom outside of Formula 1 were massively into like drift as well. And literally, obviously, and we'll speak about this a bit more. We'll speak about it first. Was sort of Christian Horner like on the car reveal, like they were like, oh, we really want to support car culture. In the first video, I was like, I saw the Garage D logo. I was like, it's fucking Garage D. And then obviously a bit later, we see it's really iconic if you're into the drift, like the drift scene, Dave Bastin's AE86. Like it's like candy pink. And it is.
Like pink.
It's a beautiful car. I swear to God, it's got an RB in it.
Probably.
It's either going to be an RB or 2J or an SR. It's going to be one of the three Jap engines. All I know is it's fast. But yeah, like seeing like a lot of just car. Well, there was a few people in that video who we actually saw and knew.
I was going to say that we've seen at shows.
Yeah, and past, like obviously there's a guy who goes to Dub Club a lot who's got the low rider.
There was
Caddy,
yeah.
Yeah, like that was, you know, it was really nice to see. But the thing that kind of, I can't believe I'm saying this, I felt a little bit sorry for Red Bull. Because Christian Horner's Christian Horner and we all have our opinions of him. But I think it was like when he walked on stage and you could hear all the crowd just going,
I think, to be fair, I think the standout moment for me in the entire thing was when they were talking about the FIA and everyone started booing.
That was pretty spectacular as well.
That was good. But the main thing that really kind of, I don't know, that stood out for me was James Vowles for Williams trying to get a selfie and failing like 3-4 times. It's just like, come on, bro.
No, to be fair, like I think some of the jokes that were cracked are incredible. But yeah, going on with Red Bull as well. The thing is, like, they did this big like reveal and like supporting car culture. I'll be honest, I was waiting for a bike to come jump at the F1 car. Yeah,
I was
waiting for some absolute Red Bull shit to happen. But like I was like, yeah, this is the most the opening video. Like, we went to go watch it at Formula One in Birmingham. And I just said to you, I was like, this is the most Red Bull shit I think I've seen.
The only thing that was missing was like a culture clash in the middle of it.
Yeah, although it was like a BMX course clash.
Yeah, it was still a bit wild. But.
But yeah, there was all that. But obviously, they barely showed the car. You just saw Matt, you saw all...
Well, all the other teams and the drivers and stuff, they spoke to. Yeah. Whereas for Red Bull, it was like Christian Horner came out.
Spoke for a bit.
And then it was this big montage video.
Of car scene, of a truck, just a Red Bull. It just felt like an advert for Red Bull.
Yeah. And then Red Bull come out with 25 man dem on stage.
No, it wasn't even that. It was all the people in the video.
Yeah, but they just come out and then that was that. It was like, oh, here's the car.
But the thing is...
They didn't want Max Verstappen to talk and swear.
I saw the owner of Garage D go up to Max and just tap him on the shoulder and like celebrate. And you see Max turn around and he's like, who the fuck are you? I mean, the Nate Drive looks like Sid the Sloth, so.
Sid the, ah, I saw another meme of Max being Sid the Sloth and Liam Lawson being one of the penguins.
I saw that. Yeah.
I love animated character Formula One drivers.
Do you know what? Like, not only that, I think Jack Whitehall was the right man for that job, you know.
Jack Whitehall's ghostwriter, or whether he has a ghostwriter or he gets someone to do his research for him, because there ain't a chance in hell that guy knew anything about Formula One prior to this.
Or he's done the research himself. And
if he's done the research, he's done very well. Like
or he's worked with the research team to write his jokes.
Yeah, I mean,
the one that did me was the Valtteri Bottas joke. And we have a Netflix crossover here today with Joey Exotic. Yeah. And it cuts the
I think...
to Bottas, what a guy.
It was, what's it called as well? Next up, we've got Red Bull's sister team that's had more name changes than Cheryl Cole. Was not ready for that one either, but...
Like, yeah. There was that. there was Lewis Hamilton walking around the paddock like a Fortnite character.
Yeah.
And George Russell with... Francis Burkhart.
Yeah, he's one step away from strapping a GoPro to his head and chasing trains on TikTok, something like that. Yeah,
and Gordon Ramsay. Gordon, you love it. You love a free corporate. You're on the headmaster's table.
That, to be fair, who doesn't love a good corporate? Yeah, I'm with Gordon, but out of all the celebrities that I've seen that were there, I do feel like Gordon Ramsay definitely deserves.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a
full on petrolhead, isn't he?
Exactly. Oh, what was the other one as well?
It was George Russell, and the second sexiest man from St. Ives?
No, King's Lynn.
From King's Lynn. And he's like, Martin Brundle.
Yeah. Martin Brundle.
To be fair, you know what though? Who do you feel was the best livery there?
V-Carb, shadow of a doubt.
Ooh, see, I liked Haas.
Haas's was good, but I think V-Carb's finally like got a livery that looks... Although, like, it's blatantly obvious that the Red Bull sister team, it looks like they've actually cared about making the V-carb livery. The other thing is, as well, so you know the Angry Ginge video where it's like, sugar-free Red Bull?
Yeah.
Well, when Yuki comes back in that video, he goes, it's not sugar-free Red Bull. It's actually Visa Cash App RB. And that's what they were going by for ages. And I knew that RB was for racing bulls because that's what they've always called the sister team. But V-carb now... they were going on about it. It's not Visa Cash App RB. It's Visa Cash App Racing Bulls. That's what they're sticking to that one there. So that's another name change technically.
Yeah, honestly. You know what though? It was, I think something we got to talk about is the BWT DJ. What the fuck was that?
Oh, Alpine. Yeah. Alpine. Oh my life.
Do you know who the DJ was?
No.
It was Brian Taylor, the guy who wrote the Formula One theme.
See, now I knew that obviously the person who wrote the theme was going to be there and that was the whole thing in it. I didn't know that was him.
Yeah. As DJs, man, I was watching. I was like, what the fuck is going on, you know?
My highlight of that entire thing was the
Molly.
It was the pan over to the camera angle to Fatboy Slim. And Fatboy Slim's just looking like, what the fuck is going on? What is this dickhead doing? He might be a great composer, but he's fucking shit acting.
Yeah,
that's where we're going to leave it.
Actually, and MGK's lip sync that was massively out as well.
Because
I said to you, I was like, am I seeing things? I was like, the audio to the video off, and it wasn't just MGK. It was just mad out of time.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. Well,
I mean, to be honest, I think the entertainment picking was a bit weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel the band you said that should have been there was...
Fleetwood Mac should have come and played The Chain. Not even the whole thing, just from like the breakdown. Just the
boom. You know what? Imagine that, like after revealed all the songs and then Fleetwood Mac came on. That'd be the way to do it.
That I think that would have closed off the evening well. But apparently there was an after party as well. MGK was playing at the after party. It looked like some tiny little venue. You remember that venue that we did an install in Wolverhampton? The one that had the Nexo rig?
Oh, Banjul.
Yeah. So, you know, imagine how intimate that place is.
Yeah.
Imagine hosting the after party there. That's what it looked like. It looked like everyone was just crammed in this tiny little space and you got MGK like on the stage. And yeah.
I did enjoy that. Wild. I actually really enjoyed Aston Martin's reveal.
Yeah. I feel like,
I feel it was.
I saw a meme about Aston Martin's reveal, Agent Stroll 007.
Yeah.
Zero wins, 0 points, seven DNFs.
Yeah. I saw that when I was. I did a lot. I think I sent you that actually.
More than likely.
But yeah, honestly, like. No, I thought Aston Martin was a real not. I mean, obviously, because it was all the Bond references. And, you know, it was nice.
It felt right.
And it was like nice seeing like an unexpected appearance from Thames.
Yeah, definitely.
Dom's dying of some disease.
Sleep deprivation.
Gay.
So, I mean.
But yeah, I mean, to be fair, you know what, as well, it was. I think Ferrari's reveal was pretty damn good as well.
Yeah, Ferrari's was good.
It was just...
I can't get past that white stripe, though. I really can't. I saw a couple of people mention it.
Do you not like it?
No, I saw a couple of people mention it, and I was like, oh, no, it's not that bad. And the more I see it, the more I'm like, oh, no, it's actually awful. Pardon me. And I saw someone do...
Are you all right?
Just a bit gassy. I saw someone do a re-render of it, and where they've got the white stripe down the side, rather than doing a vertical stripe, they've done a little one down on the fin at the top so it doesn't go into the body as much.
Yeah.
And it looks so much better. And I think, why didn't they just do that?
Plot twist. That's just probably it. It's going to come out. They're going to just change it.
Yeah, just last minute. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't be the first time that a team's done something like
that. No, I know. I mean, Rebels, going back to Rebel, the livery is just the same as last year. If they're broken, don't fix it. But
pretty much. Well, that was one thing that we noticed. In the order that they came out, it wasn't until Aston Martin that they were all like a matte satin finish, weren't they?
Yeah, they were all like matte.
And then Aston Martin came out and they were the first one with like a glossy metallic finish. And it was like, ooh.
I've seen a lot of hype for the metallic, for Aston Martin. It's so nice, it's a bit boring. I'm like, nah, it's...
But it's Aston Martin.
They're an understated brand. They're not a loud, shouty.
Yeah, exactly. They're not Red Bull.
However, I feel probably the most extra intro definitely goes to Sake. To stake.
Yeah.
Kick Saber.
It was...
Like theirs was... They're the shittiest team on the grid, and the reason why is because all the money went on that.
Pretty much. Like, and signing Hülkenberg.
Nico Hülkenberg.
That's it.
I mean, Haas doing the most American thing on the planet and having Lenny Kravitz play.
I said tonight that the only way that they could have improved that was if they had like Motley Crue Kickstart My Heart come out. And that would have been like, yeah! Or the Team America thing in tune.
That's going to be Cadillac, that is.
Yeah.
Cadillac's going to be there like just with guns.
No, Cadillac's going to come out with California Love. Just F1 car bouncing. But I did hear, I'm sure, Jack Whitehall signed off with see you next year. So
are they going to do it again next year?
Are they going to do something like that again next year? I should have probably done a little bit of research. And
we should have, would have, could have. Should have, would have, could have.
But we'll leave that to everyone else because we didn't, It hadn't crossed my mind until now, but yeah, maybe. How do you feel about them doing something like that every year?
I don't know. Because can I be honest, it's...
If they do, I feel like they should tour it, like change country every year. Because although, obviously, it's like, 75 years of the sport and the UK was the... It started
and it,
in
and it
the
is
UK.
The home of...
Yeah.
It is the home of Formula One. Well, but it is also one of them ones where... No, I
do you know how much, like... I've, again, after doing a bit of research, how much British Formula One fans are hated by every other nation's Formula One fans... Really,
it just sounds like our fans in every sport ever.
Yeah, but like they, obviously, I've seen it reported on a lot, but like Sky Sports F1 coverage.
Yeah,
apparently, was it? It was Colapinto's Pinto's first race.
Yeah,
and they were talking about obviously his first race, and they didn't cover him all that much because. And people are saying it's because he wasn't a British driver. But when Oliver Bearman did his first race in Formula One, it was like, here's Ollie, here's Ollie, here's Ollie. And yeah, I feel like, yes, British coverage is going to have a British driver bias. But, you know, when Senna was massive, do you not think that Brazilian coverage had...
Oh, I mean, he was...
Brazilian.
I mean, look at the Senna documentary. He's really loved in it.
So, but...
But you know what? Yeah,
and it's the same like with Hamilton. Obviously, he used to get a lot of stick when he was younger. And
in his bling phase.
Yeah, and a bit of a dickhead. But, or my favourite word of the podcast so far, bellend.
Bellend.
But
just get them in for the algorithm.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like, yeah, you know, there might be a bit of bias, but it's exactly the same in, I would imagine, any sport where, you know, you're going to be biased towards your own kind of nationality, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah.
Can any of our international viewers reach out and tell us, you know, I'm trying to think, like, does Spanish coverage favour Carlos Sainz and Fernando Alonso?
I think, speaking of Carlos Sainz, I think I sent you the video of that guy this morning who does all the voiceovers. And it's like Formula One drivers, what they're thinking is like, oh, if you look at my hands, look at my hands. And he's doing the Carlos Sainz voice.
Is it the guy? Oh, I think it's the guy I'm thinking of. I think if it is, he interviewed Carlos Sainz.
As Carlos Sainz, I've seen it. And Carlos Sainz is getting confused.
Yeah, he's pretty good, to be fair.
Like, but yeah, honestly, like,
so I mean, obviously we mentioned the FIA getting booed, but we can't mention the FIA and the swearing ban and getting booed without mentioning Gordon Ramsay's.
Gordon, this is meant to be Pete. You know what?
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah,
they blatantly knew what they were doing because of how quick they caught it. Like, we've seen broadcasts and things like that in our side of the industry a lot. You don't catch stuff that quick without going. It's even when Rage Against the Machine went on BBC Live Lounge and did Killing in the Name, they didn't catch it that quick.
Like, it was like a 5 second.
It was like, bam. And
that was like, right, it's Gordon Ramsay. We know what he's like.
Yeah.
And for me,
and when it didn't even finish the sentence, it was when it was shit hit. Shit.
It was shit. You just heard it.
Shit quite literally hit the fan.
You just heard the room mics kick in.
Yeah, that was.
But honestly, though, like, it's it makes a valid point. We speak about it more in the next episode, because obviously we're recording this after. So we recorded two episodes.
Well, this will be live in less than. Well, no, in 12 hours.
Literally in 12 hours.
So
no pressure, Sam. No pressure, Dom, to get the content out for it.
So yeah, we're
working hard today.
We are working hard today. But yeah, I mean,
I think he does make a valid point though, where the swearing ban, like, in no other sport are they allowed to, do they get penalised for swearing?
No.
Like, I mean, like, say for example, let's look at football. Like, how many times have you seen friggin' Grealish go, yeah, in...
I've just got flashbacks to that video that I found from like years ago, but when he was back at Villa. Where have you ever seen a more Brummy mouthing in your life? And you just you can't hear him, but you can just see him saying, "Oh my god!" But in the Brummy way,
"Oh my god! Oh my god!"
You can just tell that, like, both brain cells in his head are like fighting for a chance to get to the front. But yeah,
I
love him though.
I will say, the bougie thing was that Louis Vuitton trophy case.
Right. I do have a little bit of a note on that.
Ooh.
So
I just saw it and I was like, it's fucking bougie, that is.
So, I mean, before we get to the Louis Vuitton trophy thing, the one thing that I've got to say is just before the reveal, well, before F175 Live, obviously Williams hosted their what's it called day. They did like a media day, and it was like pre-season testing, and they got loads of like F1 content creators down. They didn't invite us, which is a bit rude, but
the emails in the podcast, drop us an email.
Yeah, if Williams,
you know, we're always
Steak, well, Aston Martin,
anyone will put
anyone but Red Bull.
Even Red Bull. No, mate, them Red Bull fun days.
Yeah, to be fair, I'd be down for a Red Bull one.
First, mate, Red Bull would be class.
Like, I got a Red Bull shirt, so.
I was about to say, mate, you can slag off Red Bull all you like, but all Red Bull's other motoring divisions is cool as fuck.
To be fair,
if I can meet Mad Mike.
me and my dad both entered a competition. I think I sent it to you to enter as well, to go to F175. No, it was to watch F175 live at Red Bull's HQ in Milton Keynes.
Yeah.
And I said to my old man, I was like, if we win, I'm going and I'm wearing like my Mercedes t-shirt or my McLaren shirt or something. Like, I'm just good.
You'll probably get given a Red Bull shirt when you get there. And be like, you can't come in unless you wear a Red Bull shirt.
Sorry, I'll put my Red Bull shirt on and then, like, just halfway through, just Johnny Bravo it off.
Hey, lady. Hey, pretty lady.
I'm so pretty. But so Williams held their reveal.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it was. I don't even know what it's actually called, but they did it.
And it's like a media day.
Yeah, it looked really promising because if you look back at last season, Williams wasn't even ready for pre-season testing. They didn't even have a car ready.
No.
And the fact that they invited all the media, like it wasn't just content creators, it was actual journalism.
Yeah, it like, was it was a press day.
Yeah, and that's got to show a lot of confidence that they're ready for the season. So that's...
Actually, talking about F175 as well, seeing Carlos Sainz in white.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was weird seeing Lewis Hamilton in red and Carlos Sainz in white.
It felt right... Well, it felt righter seeing Carlos in white than it did Lewis in red.
I've heard a lot of people say that
Lewis in red doesn't look right, or like they just haven't got used to it yet. And it's
I think that's the thing, because he spent how many years was it?
10, maybe? I'm sure it was nearly 10 years.
You know what? We spoke about this. 12 years,
You know what? I've got those cheat sheets printed off next door for scenarios like this.
Yeah, you know what? Fake fans.
Yeah.
Fake fan.
But yeah, I mean, the fact that Williams invited all these people to their testing day shows, well, I don't know if any other teams have done anything quite like it yet, but I know McLaren unveiled their like camouflage pre-season livery, which is obviously different to their race one. But yeah, Williams, I feel like they went full hog. And it was at Silverstone. I saw that it was happening and I was like, oh, I might drive down to Silverstone just for the hell of it.
Just for the day. Should have said.
So, I mean, we live, what, about an hour away from Silverstone?
We can do it. It depends.
We can do it in 45 if we want to.
That's doing the speed limit.
I'm thinking we're in Mexico again.
Oh.
Damn it.
No, if we're in Mexico, mate, it's like 3 days.
But, yeah. So,
back on track.
Before we get to the Louis Vuitton trophy trunks, I've got some more... livery news as well.
Go for it.
Well, not news. It's more of a throwback. I'll send you this picture once we're finished.
Yeah.
But in 1999, BAR, which was British American Tobacco Racing, launched a livery. And they wanted to do two different liveries for each driver. And the FIA were like, no, you can't do that. So what they did is they just put them together and then put a zipper down the middle in the graphics. And it was, they wanted to have obviously two, but they couldn't. So they just had it. It was the same on both cars, but it was both liveries, one on one side and one on the other.
That's genius.
On the topic of that, I think me and Sam were talking about it as well, where...
Ferrari's numbering.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if any other teams did it because I wasn't paying that much attention. And the further we got through the night, the more half cut I started getting. So, but Ferrari, I noticed, I was like, oh, they put 16, Charles Leclerc's number, on the front of the car. And then I clocked, obviously, the 44 on the side. And I was like, oh, hang on, they have put Lewis's one. And then, obviously, it was Leclerc's on the other side as well. So,
yeah, I'm assuming it's probably not staying like that.
No. Well, I'm assuming they just did that because they had Lewis on the side that Lewis's was on.
Oh, something else we've got to talk about is Mercedes' shit show of a pit stop.
Oh, yes.
How did we forget about that? I promise you, that was definitely not the pit crew, you know. That was
just a bunch of actors.
Who have been trained, because I'm sorry, no way would they fuck up like that.
Well, for how slow it was as well. Like, I know it was slow to like, dramatise it.
I bet your Toto's like, don't you fucking damage my fucking car.
But
where's Gunther? Don't you drop my fuck car?
Don't you break my fuck wheel? Smash wheel? Fuck!
Bunch of wankers.
But it was just the amount of time it took for that one wheel. That was very
It was. Say it was only the two front as well.
Yeah. No, I think they did all four, didn't they?
No, I thought they only did the two front ones.
I don't know.
I saw it and I was like, yeah, that was.
I was gonna say you pointed it out straight away. I just saw it and I was just like, no.
I mean,
I felt so bad.
Like, say for example, the thing is, well, you can tell it's not the proper pit teams because, okay, fair enough, they're not using air guns. Mm. Or are they air guns? They're not air guns anymore. They're DCR thing, aren't they?
I have no idea. I don't imagine they would have there and then.
I'm gonna have to check that. But again, like they were choosing like you know what the problem was? They were using Makita.
Makita.
They were using Mickey.
No, Ryobi.
Nah, leave Ryobi out. Ryobi is the budget brand of Milwaukee. Milwaukee's elite. But yeah, like they were choosing like just generic battery impacts. And it's look, obviously they're not going to spin as quick, but it was just, that wasn't even the issue.
I imagine they had them on very tight anyway, because the car was pre-jacked up. It never dropped down, so it was never sat on the wheel. So realistically, they could have just done them by hand.
Yeah, but so. It was the off. It wasn't clean. It didn't feel like...
It wasn't as theatrical as they might have wanted it to have been.
Yeah.
I think that's...
I feel that somebody was like, oh, that so I was like, can I just send Match Pit Crew? No. We'll use our entertainment team.
Pit Crew wanted too much money. That's what it was.
No, it wouldn't, mate. Toto doesn't give a fuck about money.
Budget caps, though.
Actually, yeah.
That's another thing that you got to think about.
You know what's going to be interesting? Go on. Where does F175 sit into the budget of Formula One? In terms of the event, because what I got to think is, like, say, for example, say
it's promo, isn't it? So,
but that's still part of their budget,
I guess. I know they all got 7 minutes.
Yeah, so that's why Red Bulls was like a 6 minute video and 30 seconds of Max Verstappen walking out, just waving in the car, barely saw the car. Where was Liam Lawson?
He was there. He was there. I only
saw Max Verstappen on the front.
I did see him. Another moment that looking back to that I've just remembered is, you know, when Alonso and Stroll came out and took the helmets off and they started walking down the steps.
Yeah.
Did you notice, obviously, Alonso was like high-fiving everyone and shaking everyone's hand.
Yeah, no.
Stroll wasn't. No, he didn't even put his hand out. And then Alonso leans behind Stroll and like high-fives a couple of people on Stroll's side because he could see that like people, they wanted to interact and get involved and they weren't having none of it. And Alonso was like, yeah. Stroll's just like, I don't know, my dad made me come here.
I don't know how to feel about Lance Stroll, you know, like.
I really wish that Jack Whitehall opened it with, we've got the 19 best drivers in the world.
And then there's Lance Stroll.
That should have been an opener. That should have been. But to be fair, could you imagine how much Lawrence Stroll would have sued him if he would have said that? Like, I don't know if he would have been able to, but...
Yeah,
but
so it's a hard one, isn't it?
But,
it's a difficult one.
Free speech and all that, but...
I mean, you say that, they have just put a swearing ban in.
Well, yeah, there is that.
I'm not going to lie, Daddy Stroll did just look pissed off, though.
Yeah, he did. He did
look pissed. He did look pissed off.
So...
you know what, as well, going back to Ferrari, it's just Fred, it's how happy Fred looks all the time.
I'd be happy too if I had Charles Leclerc and 7-time world champion Lewis Hamilton driving for me, because like, especially with their current form as well, it's like he's like yes, I can see it, it's been long enough since Ferrari's won something and we're getting up again.
We're getting there. We've got probably two
of the best drivers on the grid.
We've got probably now one of the best cars on the grid because they've built a brand new car for it.
I think they're...
The only way Ferrari could have got better is if they had Adrian Newey.
Yeah.
If they had Newey, that would have been it.
It would have been game.
It would have been unstoppable.
It would have been Hamilton with another 7 world championships over the top. But, yeah.
Hamilton just getting enough in just so Max can never even get near his record.
He's never... not even close.
He's got a wife and kid at home now, mate.
Yep, that's it. It's game over for him. That's a fun fact, actually. Well, no, I don't know if it is a fact. Hamilton, I don't think he does have any kids, does he?
No,
he
doesn't. I haven't got a missus. I don't think he's already seen somebody.
I know he was...
he was with Cheryl Cole for ages.
Was he?
Yeah.
He was with Nicole Scherzinger.
Was he? I swear to God he was... Hang on.
Because me and my dad always go, oh, look, it's Lewis Hamilton and Nicole Scherzinger. I mean, Scherzinger. Yeah, I don't think he ever went out with Cheryl Cole. Liam Payne from One Direction did. No?
I'm literally just looking now.
Sam's looking. I'm going to be very surprised. I'm not doubting it, but I don't remember it.
No.
Did it? No?
No.
It was. I was going to say, he went out with Nicole Scherzinger, I know that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no. No kids for Hamilton. Maybe that's why he's doing well, or has done well. I wouldn't say he's exactly doing well at the moment, but hopefully that should change for Ferrari.
I know the reason why is because I'm getting confused here, because I saw an article and it was like, Cheryl Cole, angry text over replacement Nicole Scherzinger, basically saying that Cheryl Brandon nowhere near as good as Beyonce.
Okay.
Right then.
We're now Vogue magazine now.
We're now Cosmopolitan.
Cosmopolitan. That's what I was trying to think of.
Nah, mate, that sort of bullshit. That's name magazine behaviour. Can we get some better chairs for the future episodes?
Yeah, my back. I'm just like... Anyway.
We've got two secret lab chairs next door.
The... other bit of upcoming news that I've got.
Yeah.
Apparently, Alpine may be up for sale for around £1.8 billion.
What we say in box, whip round.
Well, this is another thing. So, you know, I always go on about Schumacher and his cheating scandal at Benetton.
Yeah.
The team principal then was Flavio Briatore, who is, I don't know who or what he is at Alpine, but I know he's there. But yeah, so Flavio has publicly denied that Alpine is currently for sale. The decision to cease engine production would certainly make such a transition easier, apparently. The team has undergone several identity changes over the years, from Lotus to Renault, back to Renault, from Renault to Lotus, back to Renault, and now is Alpine, making it one of the more fluid entries in F1. So, I mean, yes, they have had a lot of name changes, and I think maybe not next episode, but the one after, I'm going to go through a little breakdown of
the
current episodes. F1 teams yeah. and their pasts and whatnot. So, and obviously we'll go through all that with it. But yeah, Alpine, like, and
Matting.
Realistically, Renault, as things go, like we talk about heritage in motorsport a lot, and like Ferrari and McLaren and Williams, but Renault do have quite a big, they do back a bit.
I mean, the mad thing is, though, is that Renault's sort of golden era was with Williams.
Yeah. Well, they made some brilliant engines for Williams. They had the...
Christ, do you remember the Renault F1 Espace?
Yeah,
The Espace with the Formula 1 in, with the Formula 1 V10 in it.
That was ridiculous. But no...
I live for it.
It was Alonso's two-time world champion cars, both of those.
Yeah.
And Flavio Briatore was the team principal then. Crashgate is something that might ring a bell to some old school Formula 1 fans. But yeah, we'll get into that on another episode too.
Another episode as well.
You know, when I talk about Fernando Alonso's teammate crashing to cause an advantage?
Yeah.
That's the whole Crashgate thing. It's crazy. But yeah. Two more things before we get to Louis Vuitton.
Go on.
How do we feel? So F1 is broadening its horizons realistically for the first proper time with new sponsors and new merchandise and things. So
yeah.
They've just done a deal with... these companies have got licensing from F1. Mattel, which is obviously Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
And Lego. So,
I've seen the Lego cars look sick.
The Lego Formula One stuff looks badass.
I actually want to buy some, and obviously I know you're going to buy the Hot Wheels.
Well, the McLaren one for the Lego has been out for a while now. They do a little one and a big one, but I've seen that they're doing a lot more, and there's going to be bigger sets, and there's going to be more teams and stuff. But
do a podcast episode of just me and you building Lego.
Building Lego. So
that would be crap to listen to, fun to watch.
Yeah. So
that could be a video for the YouTube channel.
The Hot Wheels, though, I'm fucking all over the Hot Wheels already.
Yeah, I know you are.
I signed right up to that. So.
You were like, that's going straight in my basket.
I'm a little bit of a Hot Wheels aficionado.
You could say that. You have a nephew, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, I have a rule with Hot Wheels. If it's nice, buy it twice.
Exactly.
Because I get one for me to keep in the box and be a grown up with. He says, with his Hot Wheels, and one to give to my nephew to open and play with. I mean, for him to play with, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But no, you know, that's who, so yeah, it's Mattel and Lego, yeah?
Yeah, that's two things that I saw
You know what I will say as well? It does seem that the actual F1 merch is getting nice this year. Like, obviously, we spoke about the new stuff with Ferrari and Puma.
Well, the Mercedes stuff, like when the Adidas thing got announced, we were like, George Russell is going to be kicking off, going from Hugo Boss to Tommy Hilfiger
to Adidas.
And it's like, oh, but it makes sense with Adidas being German. But yeah, I feel like I first heard about it and I was like, oh, and then I saw some of the like crew shirts and I was like, ooh, and the more I see the stuff, I'm like, actually, this looks really nice.
Yeah, as I said,
I'm debating paying £75 for a shirt.
I'm going to buy, and I don't care how much it is, that Ferrari two-piece.
Yeah,
that's look good. Hard that is. Like, I think the only other team that's always had hard merch was like McLaren.
Yeah.
McLaren have always had some pretty bougie merch.
I'm just not a fan of the orange, man. Like, I know I get papaya, and well, I've gone through it before, but yeah.
You want the red and white back.
I want the red and white back, man. I want the red and white. But
they need to do it just as a special, you know.
Yeah, they should. Well, I know they did the special Brazilian stuff for Senna for the Brazilian Grand Prix last year. So, yeah. And I've been trying to cop one of them t-shirts like secondhand somewhere and I just can't find them anywhere.
Yeah, they're just going to be
I'll get one somewhere. But Kit Kat, take a break, have a Kit Kat. Kit Kat has officially been announced as the official chocolate bar of Formula One.
Can I be honest? They could have done better.
They could have done better. But Kit Kat, that...
Have a break. Have a Kit Kat.
I felt like that needed to be mentioned.
No, that's actually incredible, you know. Like,
I think it's a deal.
I'm a little bit annoyed though. There's so many better chocolate bars.
Well, it's a deal with Nestle, but they've chosen Kit Kat as the poster child, I would imagine. But
we
could get a double decker in the future. It's double decker's Cadbury's, isn't it?
Double decker's Cadbury, mate.
Oh, shit. Hey, Jelly Tots are Nestle.
Isn't Galaxy Nestle?
I think Galaxy's just Galaxy. I think they're their own thing.
Hang on. This is a
Cosmopolitan magazine strikes again. What chocolate are we having this week? I promise we're a Formula One podcast.
Mars.
Hang on, Mars is Nestle, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
No, I swear Mars is actually owned by the Coca-Cola group, you know. I could be wrong. Sam's researching.
Oh, no. Mars is its own thing.
Okay, fair enough.
Worth 47. Why has Mars not got an F1 team?
Yeah. Well, Red Bull has, so.
Yeah, I was about to say, come on, Mars. I want to see a giant.
How long before we see a chocolate bar sponsor on a Formula One car? Has there ever been one? I'm going to research that.
No, that's a good interest.
I'm going to, yeah. Chocolate. Formula One.
Whilst I'm into this.
It's just for me to remember.
How's your day going?
How's your day going, mate?
How's traffic?
That brings me finally to Louis Vuitton trophy trunks. So yeah. Louis Vuitton is officially the title sponsor of the Australian Grand Prix this year.
Yeah.
For, I believe, the first time. They've never been a title sponsor of a Formula One race. We've seen designer brands like Hugo Boss. Is Tommy Hilfiger designer?
Yeah, Tommy Hilfiger is quite a big designer.
So
I would actually put Hilfiger up there with Boss.
Yeah. So but other than sponsoring a team, I've never seen them have anything to do with the sport outside of a team.
Oh no, I know what you mean. Yeah.
So, but the thing with Louis Vuitton is they have agreed for, I believe it is for all the races, but when they deliver the trophies on the podium, just like it was in F175.
They're in a Louis Vuitton case.
They're going to have the iconic Louis Vuitton trunk, but they're going to have the colours representative of the country that the race is hosted.
That's quite cool, you know. So that's quite cool.
Obviously, Louis Vuitton and their trunk is iconic, really.
Yeah, it is.
But
have you seen that they've gone back to Moët as well?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's instead of Ferrari sparkling wine.
Sparkling Prosecco, whatever the fuck it is. But it is. It's one of them ones where, like, when I saw Ferrari, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? I think that's sort of when I first started getting back into it.
Yeah, it was a bit weird, wasn't it?
Like, it's always been Moët.
Well, Moët is the sponsor of one of the upcoming Grand Prix as well, I believe.
Dom is looking at his cheat sheet as we.
I am looking at my cheat sheet. Louis Vuitton's Australia, Heineken. Chinese. We got Lenovo, Golf Air, STC, Crypto.com, Tag Heuer, Pirelli. Here we go. Spa, Moët and Chandon.
Is that I love Spa, you know.
But yeah, Spa is sponsored by Moët. I think on... no, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it because it'll spoil it. I'm going to keep you hanging for the next one. But yeah, to be fair, that's another thing as well. Tag Heuer has taken over from Rolex as the official timekeeping provider.
Again, that's madness because it's always been Rolex.
In
all my knowledge,
Rolex is...
It's always... This sounds bad. Any major sport, timekeeping has always been Rolex.
Yeah. I would have had... Could you imagine if they come back with like the Casio one year? Like Casio, the official timekeeper of.
However, as of today, on the day of recording, we are 24 days and 1 hour.
So if you listen to this on the day that it's released, it'll be 23 days.
It will be 23 days until the Melbourne GP.
So I never actually mentioned this. We said we were going to talk about it. But while you're giving the countdowns, I did make a note of it. Drive to Survive. Season 6 release.
Yeah.
Obviously, we kind of know what happens in it because it's covering last season. But just some insight for you here, guys. The release date is Friday the 7th of March. And that gives you exactly 9 days to binge it before the first race of the season starts.
I'm game for that.
So, well, it's 9 days before... the race, no, before the season starts, 9 days before the race and a week before FP1 starts. So technically.
That's mad.
So they do really, I mean, that's, I know you could literally do an episode a day and still have time left over because I think there's only 6 or 7 episodes. There might be 10. I can't remember.
I don't know. We'll find out when it airs because it differs from season to season, doesn't it?
I believe so, yeah. But
and they're all going to be about 45 minutes to an hour long.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I mean, it's, you'd think that they'd do it a little bit, maybe even before pre-season testing, which...
The thing is, I imagine that they're going to do it just so people do binge it, though.
Yeah. We're in the binging generation, aren't we?
So. We are in that generation. I mean, Christ, I've just binged Manifest. I highly recommend watching it. It's on Netflix. It's pretty damn epic. But yeah, like, that's just throwing me off. But you know, it's I'm really excited for this season, you know.
I'm excited too.
I'm sorry if I sound a bit tired in my voice. I am quite tired and I know you are as well.
I'm very tired. I didn't get home till like 4 a.m. last night and I was here at 10.
Yeah. I was dealing with
animals. I should get an award for that.
That for you?
For me, for that you, is a big deal.
100%. 100%. But you know, like, honestly, like, it's a...
I think that pretty much covers it, really.
Yeah, I think that does pretty much wrap it up.
I mean, there's definitely going to be lots of bits that we've missed out that have been iconic from F175.
But, yeah.
I mean...
But you know what?
Do you want us... Was you expecting us to commentate the whole event? No, that's
absolutely not.
Yeah,
absolutely
we were just talking
You know
about,
what we haven't talked about? Take that! And that's all we need to talk about. Yeah. Gary Barlow.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that. Well, anyone, they could have had clothes... F1's the first ever event they've ever done like that, and it's fucking take that. It's Gary Barlow.
Probably the most significant and most iconic event outside of the races in Formula One.
Yeah.
In its entire history, and they booked Machine Gun Kelly and take that.
And Kane Brown.
When I heard about Jack Whitehall, yeah. I was like, they could have got someone a bit better after witnessing it. I don't think they could have.
Yeah, perfect.
I think
he was the perfect man for the job.
He was the perfect man for the job because he knew, well, he had just enough knowledge with F1 to engage with the big F1 superfans, but just, you could tell that it wasn't his thing entirely and he captivated, well, obviously, I don't know if that's the case, but I felt like if I didn't know much about F1, I'd still be intrigued and enjoy what he's saying because it was funny. So even the joke that he made about Max Verstappen and George Russell not sitting close to each other.
Honestly, it was amazing. But you know what? Let us know what you think. Leave a comment on the YouTube video. Leave a comment on Spotify. Get in touch with us on all the socials. What's the handle, Dom?
It is BoxBoxBoxPod on everything. YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. I've just created a Threads as well because I've started looking on Threads. It's, F1 content.
It's popping off.
F1 Threads is wild.
It's
I love
off.
It.
Popping off. I live for it. But other than that, I've been Sam.
What's your Instagram handle, Sam?
At Sentio Silvano.
I've been Dom. My Instagram is at DJ Dom Cook.
Thank you for listening as always. We always appreciate it.
Always. And we'll be back same time next week with another countdown towards the season start once again.
And this has been the Box 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 Pod. And I will see you later. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.